welcome everyone who is listening to our service this morning, and to greet you in with these words on the last Sunday of the year 2020. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. My topic for today is be patient and wait upon the Lord. And my scripture, our scripture for this morning is from Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 to 5. And it's a psalm of David, and it goes like this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Let's begin with an opening word of prayer. Our great and gracious God, as we come to the end of another year, we thank you again for being with us. We thank you again for the blessings you've poured out upon us, and we thank you for being there when we had challenges, when we had situations that were uncomfortable. We thank you also again for all the great times that we've had throughout this year. We thank you for your salvation, for your words of promise from your book, the Bible. Lord, we know when things are unpredictable, we can always go to your word. And we find great peace and great comfort in the words that you speak through your word, the Bible. Again, we ask that you be with us as again we look into your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We will now have two songs.
In the red hymnals, number 68, and thou didst leave thy throne. Number 68.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang of thy birth and thy royal decree. But in lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in greatest humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room. Room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking and scorn and with crown of thorn did they take thee to Calvary. Its choir shall sing at thy coming to victory. Thou wilt call me home, saying, yet there is room There is room at my side for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, come. There is room in my heart for thee.
In the red hymnal, number 72, O Come All Ye Faithful. 72.
As we have just come through the celebration of Christmas, the birth of the baby Jesus, we have celebrated this great gift of salvation. We've celebrated God coming to live on earth as a person, to bring to all of mankind the good news. The birth of Jesus was the beginning of the salvation story. The story that includes the growth of Jesus as he became a man, how he died on the cross for our sins and again rose on the third day. And as we celebrate this amazing story of salvation, we come to the last Sunday of 2020. And we look back on this year that has almost passed. I believe this year has had many surprises. And as I was thinking about this, I thought that if each one of us would have written a book at the end of 2019, a book that would look at this year of 2020 before it started, I believe each one would have been surprised by how wrong or inaccurate this book would have been. Most of us wouldn't have believed how this year has turned out. But as I look back at some of my other messages from the years before, the last Sunday of the year messages, it's funny how they all had the same theme at the beginning. The year has not turned out the way that we had expected, is what it seemed to be the message or the words were at the beginning of each one of those messages. We have all been handed different circumstances in this year of 2020. Some, of course, were good and great situations, and some very challenging. I believe the important question is, how have we reacted to those circumstances. In the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 4, Haggai encourages the people, the children of Israel. And he says, "Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." I believe that line still applies to us today, and I too would like to encourage each one of you with the words that I just spoke. Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. It is my prayer and my encouragement to each one for this coming year, if the Lord is willing. Some of you have been discouraged during this last year. Some have been frustrated, and some have lost loved ones. Some can't be with their loved ones. Some have lost homes. And those times have been very difficult. We also know that there are other situations that cause difficulties. But I believe when we think about the difficulties, we also need to think about the positives in our families, in our friends, in our circles. We have seen babies born throughout this year, which were miracles. We have seen people recover from illness. We have seen miracles of forgiveness between people. And the love people show to each other in times of great need is amazing. It is also a miracle. It is also given of God. It is extremely important for us to acknowledge the sovereignty of God when we look back on 2020. And whether we have had a great year or a very trying year, we can be assured that He is near us at all times. We can be assured that He cares for us and He looks after us, even though we don't always see Him near us or feel Him near us. We read in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It's a familiar verse, and it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." The words from God and how He promises that He will be with the children of Israel and how He will strengthen them and how He will help them in times of need and how He will uphold them with the right hand of His righteousness. Words to the children of Israel, but also words for you and I if we are the children of God. He watches over us regardless of how we feel. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, it speaks about how He cares for us. It speaks about how when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt us. And there's an interesting word right near the end of that verse. It says, "in due time." And then verse 7 says, "casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Indeed, God cares for His children. We do not have to question that when we think about the celebration of Christmas and how He sent His Son to earth to save all of mankind. When we look back at the year 2020, it is a great time to evaluate our daily walk, how we do things, our attitude about things, but we must give thought to how our daily walk and our spiritual walk blend together. We need to remember the sovereignty of God when we think about the difficulties we have had, and also when we give thought to the great and blessed times that we have experienced this last year. There are no circumstances where God has left us to ourselves. He is with us at all times, and He has been with us at all times. When we look back to the year of 2020, we must confidently say that God has a plan. And while we don't know the details, we know that He is with us and will be with us whatever comes our way. We must trust in the Lord today and indeed into the future. As we look into the new year that is about to begin, if the Lord is willing, we wonder what the new year 2021 will have in store for us. Most of us have goals that we set as we look forward into this new year. Most of us have certain things that we would like to change about our work or about ourselves, how we do certain things in our day-to-day lives. And I believe it's very important for us to include the Lord in our plans as we look into this new year. In Proverbs chapter 16, there are a couple of verses that point to how we make plans, but God is the one who directs our paths. And I'll look at chapter 16, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. Proverbs chapter 16. And it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men will depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. It speaks very simply about how we, of course, devise our ways or plan our own ways. And it doesn't say that it is wrong for us to plan our own ways. It only speaks about some facts where we do plan our own ways, but indeed the Lord directs our steps. And when we make plans, including the Lord, it is very important for us to understand that our steps will be right in the eyes of God if we follow His plan. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 23 to 24, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And then it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We think about this new year and we have this confidence that when we stagger or when we stumble, the Lord is with us. And in Psalm 37, verse 24, it very clearly points that out. It speaks about, of course, a good man. In other words, a man who believes and follows and trusts in the Lord. And it speaks about how the steps of that man are ordered by the Lord. And then it gives us the assurance that if we fall down, we will not be cast aside, for the Lord upholds us with his hand. In Psalm chapter 48, verse 14, it speaks about how God is our God forever. And it says, for this God is our God forever and ever, who will be our guide even unto death. And so we have the confidence, looking into a new year, we have the confidence that it is important, of course, to ask God to help us and include Him in our plans. But we also have the confidence in knowing that He is there. When we stumble, He is there. When we don't stumble, He is there. Our God fights for us. His hand reaches for us when we have difficulty. And He is near us when things don't go our way. I think in the new year, we should also think about growing closer to the Lord. About our attitudes toward God and also to others. Do we care about the salvation of those who are not a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ? How do we approach those people when we have that opportunity going into the new year? Have we thought about that? When we think about making plans, do we make plans as to what we will say to people so that we will be ever ready when we are asked certain questions about salvation? In John chapter 17, it speaks about the prayer of Jesus for his people. And it's an amazing prayer, and it gives us great confidence when we read it. And I just like to read a portion this morning from John chapter 17, verses 15 to 20. And Jesus is praying to his Father. And he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of this world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. When I think about leaving an old year and going into a new year, I think about this prayer that Jesus has for his church, for you and I, for all Christians. And Jesus uses himself as an example. that we would be in the world but not of the world. That means that we take part in living in this world. Jesus' prayer was that God would not take us out, but that he would keep us from the evil. There's two aspects to that statement. One, of course, is from being affected by evil, and also from committing evil ourselves as the children of God. That we would be in the world and make a difference as Jesus made a difference in this world. When Jesus uses himself as an example, I believe we need to read all of the New Testament in order to totally understand what this phrase means. We are to encourage those who are hurting and discouraged. We're to help those that are in need. We are to tell the lost about a Savior who is Jesus Christ, a Savior who is secure and who is sure. In John chapter 17, verse 20, which is the last part of this prayer, where it speaks about Jesus praying for his church in order to keep the church pure and in order to do the work of the church. Jesus says in this portion, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Jesus prays not only for his own, those that have made the decision to follow him, but he prays also for those that shall believe in Jesus through the words that we speak. Those that believe in Jesus because of what they have seen and heard from you and I, from the church, from other Christians. It's a sobering thought as we go into this new year, that we indeed are the ones who are to speak properly, to draw people to Jesus Christ by what we say and by what we do. And of course, that is just a quick overview. If we truly wish to understand what Jesus means by this comment, we would have to read the whole New Testament, I believe, and many parts of the Old. But it is important for us to understand how important it truly is to be seen and to be heard in a proper manner as Christian people. And I believe in the year ahead that this should be one of our goals. As we look at our scripture for today from Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 to 5, we see that the writer addresses the past, but he also looks at the present. And indeed, he looks as he's continuing into the future at the end of Psalm chapter 40, and he makes some comments about the future. But we're going to look mostly at Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 to 5. And it goes like this: "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." In the first two verses, David, the writer, of course, of Psalm 40, paints a picture of the past, and then the present, and how he got to the spot or the place that he was in. And he says he was stuck in this terrible situation. And David describes it as a horrible pit or a miry clay. We could say today in a muddy spot in a field or in a muddy ditch. A place that we couldn't break free of. A place we can't get out of. Most of us have been stuck at one time or another, rather on a field or in a ditch. Sometimes in the springtime, as we drive across a field or go through a muddy spot in the field, we get stuck. And we can't get out on our own. We need help. And at times we need a lot of help. I get stuck with my quad numerous times in a year. And often I'll get stuck, and I know a couple of summers ago I got stuck and my winch didn't work. And I tried everything, and I was spinning back and forth. I couldn't get out. I tried putting sticks under the wheels, and I couldn't get out. Finally, I ran out of options, and I just sat down and looked at my quad. I needed help to get out. That's what David is talking about. He's in a spot where he can't get out of. He's in a horrible spot. His feet are stuck, and he can't move. But David isn't talking about being physically stuck in a pit. But he's applying this analogy to the spiritual situation that he is saying he was in. He said he didn't know. What he's trying to say is he didn't know which way to turn. He didn't know what he should do. Today we would say he just couldn't figure it out. He was absolutely hopeless, and he was absolutely helpless. There are times when we feel that way as people, and we don't know which way to turn. Psalm 69 explains this a little better, and it's also a psalm of David. And it goes this way, the first three verses. And he says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon the Lord. From him cometh my help." Sorry. Psalm 69, verse 1 to 3. And he speaks about it this way in Psalm 69. He says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry and mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." And so it explains better what he means by what he is saying. And so what did David do? It says in verse 1, he waited patiently. But what was he waiting for? It tells us he was waiting for God, waiting for the Lord. He was waiting for help, and he didn't know which way to turn, and he waited patiently for the Lord. We don't like waiting when we feel cornered or stuck. We don't like waiting when we're in a place where we are troubled. We want to do something now, but we must remember Proverbs 16 and the advice that it gives. We plan, but God directs, is the advice of Proverbs 16, verse 9. Many of us have been in this very situation during this last year. We were handed circumstances of difficulty, circumstances we didn't understand, and we didn't know why they were coming our way. But what did we do? David speaks in a past tense. He says that this is where I was, and I waited with patience. He is giving us advice, but he also gives us the outcome of the situation he was in. He says, "When he waited with patience, the Lord inclined unto me." What he is saying is that the Lord heard him. The Lord heard his cry and listened to his cry. Then the Lord acted, and the Lord delivered him out of this horrible place. This place where he was caught in. And it tells us that the Lord set his feet upon a rock. He pulled him out of this place, the miry clay, and set his feet upon a rock. In Psalm chapter 62, verse 1 and 2, also a psalm of David, he says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Often when we think about setting our feet upon a rock is where we stop. When we think about God and we want to be delivered from a situation, we think about the rock. And when our feet are back on the rock, that is where we stop, with our feet upon the rock. But did the Lord simply pull him out of this pit or out of this miry clay to set his feet upon a rock? No. It goes on. And it says in the rest of verse 2, "and established my goings." The Lord pulled David out of this spot when he didn't know which way to turn, set his feet upon the rock, and then it says the Lord established his direction. The Lord showed David what he should do. which way he should go. Not only did the Lord suggest, but the Lord established. Establishing something means that the direction that the Lord gave was sure. The direction was secure and predictable. And then it says in verse 3 that the Lord had given him a new song, a song of praise unto God. The old song of pain, the song of disappointment, the song of crying unto God was gone. And by God's rescue out of this miry clay, a new song had been given unto him. A song of praise to God for what he had done. But there's more to this story. At the end of verse 3, it tells us that many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Many will trust in the Lord because David was stuck in this miry clay, because David waited patiently on the Lord, because the Lord heard the cry and rescued him out of this miry clay and set his feet upon a solid rock. And because the Lord set the course for David's ways. And David praised the Lord with a new song, and it says, the people in the world around him saw this, and they feared God and trusted in God. In verse 4 and 5, it tells us that blessed is the one that chooses the Lord and turns his back to those that tell lies. Turns his back on those that are prideful. And David then speaks of great confidence in God. When he speaks about the great work that the Lord does and has done. When he speaks about the thoughts of God toward us. So many that they cannot be counted up. And when he begins to speak of the works and the thoughts of God, they can never be numbered, he says. Because of the number of them and the magnitude of the thoughts and the works of God. They are so great. They cannot be counted. When we go further in Psalm chapter 5 and verse 8 to 10, it speaks about David mentioning to God how he will delight to do God's will. He speaks about how he has preached righteousness to the great congregation. He speaks about how he has declared the faithfulness of God and the salvation of God. And has not concealed the loving kindness of God from the great congregation. Chapter 40 ends, of course, with verse 16 and 17. And it's the encouragement to those that seek the Lord to rejoice and be glad in the Lord. And to those that love the salvation of the Lord to continue to magnify him. And though we may feel poor and needy, the Lord thinks about us continually. He is our help and our deliverer. Most of us have likely felt the way David did at the beginning of Psalm 40. Most of us have likely not understood why we feel the way we do at times. Most of us have likely not known what to do at certain times during this last year. But let us be encouraged. God is with us. He is there for us. He hears us and he delivers us. We also have to remember that we affect others when we choose to sing a new song as King David did. And still today, many see us. Many see the new song that we sing. And because of that, many fear and trust God because of what they see in us. And in our testimonies of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are his children. They see what the Lord has done for us. And they see what the Lord is doing for us today. So in this new year, let us be patient in whatever may come our way. Let us give thanks for the year that has passed. Let us give thanks for the good times and also the challenges. Or the situations that were not so enjoyable. May God give us strength and courage in this new year. And I would like to remind us of the verse in John 17. And it helps us to understand that the situations in our world around us and the situations in our own lives are not just about us. But through God's sovereignty, He has a plan for each act that takes place and for each one of us, indeed, as Christian people. And His prayer for the church, He says in verse 20, John chapter 17, verse 20, it says, "Neither pray I for these alone." He's speaking of the church, the Christian people. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Jesus' prayer for us is that God will keep us from evil. His prayer for us is that our works will be seen and our words will be heard as His people. His prayer for us is that we, as David did, speak of His greatness, speak of His testimonies so that others will see in us the Lord Jesus, so that others will see in us something that they would want, so that others will come to know this Jesus whose birthday we have just celebrated. Let us close in a word of prayer. Lord, again at this time of year, as we come to the end of this year, we pray again and give thanks for this year that is past. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit alone may be with Your church, with Your people, with us, that Your Spirit will guide us and that we may adhere to the Spirit, that we may be the people that others will see, that others will look to for guidance, that others would want to be like, to be at peace, to be joyful, to comfort each other, and most of all, to serve You for Your great salvation. Lord, give us strength to do this continually throughout this new year, if it be Your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We will now have two songs.
Your blue hymnals, number 96. "Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul," number 96.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shout out the spelling with joy, I'm telling, He made all the darkness deep. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to Spirit with life from above into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine! And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took of the offer. Grace He did offer, He saved me, oh praise His dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I will hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my sight was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
And our blue hymnal is number 93, Away in a Manger. Number 93.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the no crying He makes. I love Thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle to watch lullaby. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask Thee to stay close by.
I would like to also thank each and every one of you for your prayers throughout this year. And I'd like to wish everyone a blessed Christmas season. And thank you for your cards and gifts. And remind you to continue to pray for each other. The importance of your prayers for each other can never be overstated. And we must continue to pray for each other for strength and guidance by God's hand. And now for the benediction from Numbers 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And you may go in the name of the Lord. Amen.